Look at this. Or take a seat on the floor if you'd like to. I think my two girls are going to take a lead and sit down on the floor. And we're going to pray as we begin. We're going to ask God to help us as we listen to his word together now. Okay, let's pray. Loving Father, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you that when we listen to it, you speak to us. Please teach us about Jesus now. In his name we pray. Amen. Now, I want to ask a question. Who's excited? Who is excited right now? There's a lot of excited people down the front. There are no excited people at the back, you miserable lot. Okay, there are some excited grown-ups as well. Why are you excited? Joseph, why are you excited? Because Jesus gets born tomorrow. That's a great reason to be excited. Yeah, any other reasons to be excited? What are you going to do tomorrow as well as celebrate Jesus being born? Hannah Grace. Open presents! Amazing! I am excited. I think a parcel arrived for me, and I am excited. And what do you do? How do you show that you're excited when you open presents? Yeah. You just rip them open, and what do? Brilliant. You jump up and down and thank whoever gave them to you. That's what I do too. I may not jump up and down. I know a little girl who, when she gets a present she's really excited by, says, "Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you." So excited. What else do? When you get this great present, you get a really cool toy to play with. Yeah.
You get to play with them.
Yeah, you play with them all the time. And then you have to go to bed, don't you? And what happens when you go to bed? I know what happens when I go to bed. Especially when I was a little boy, I would go to bed and I would be thinking about the toy. And I would be thinking, I can't wait till I get up in the morning and I get to see that toy again. And I'd wake up in the morning and what would I be doing? What would I be thinking about? I'd be thinking about the toy, thinking about it all the time. What's the other thing you do? When you get a really cool present and you see your friends, what do? Brilliant. That's great. You ask them if they want to play too. And you share it with them, don't you? You let them share in the fun and you talk about it all the time. And that is exactly what we see the shepherds doing and Mary doing in this story from Luke. It's a true story about what really happened. And the shepherds go and they see the baby Jesus. And they go home and they're so excited that they tell everyone else what they've seen, because they want to share that with everyone else. And they're so excited that they're praising God and glorifying him. They're saying to him, thank you for this wonderful thing. And we see Mary treasuring up these things, says Luke, and pondering them. Who knows what ponder means? Yeah, Hannah Grace, what does ponder mean? Yeah, right, thinking about it. So Mary is thinking about these things all the time. It's just like us when we get a really great gift. They're doing it about Jesus. Why? Why are they doing it about Jesus? Well, the angels tell us. In fact, the angels tell the shepherds. Those words that Pastor Chuck read to us right at the beginning of our service. Today, in the town of David in Bethlehem, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Okay? This little baby is exciting because of who he is. Three things. He's a Savior, he's Christ, and he's the Lord. We're going to say that together, okay? A Savior who is Christ the Lord. All right, that was your practice. We're now going to say it all together. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. One more time. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. The angels are saying this baby is amazing because he's come to be a Savior. This baby is amazing because you guys, like us, like everyone in this world, is sinful. We do things that we know are wrong. We do things that we know God doesn't like. And so we need someone to come and save us. Someone to come and save us from our sin. And that's what Jesus has come to do, to get rid of all our sin so that God forgives us and makes us his friends and his children. He's a Savior. He's Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the great King. Okay? He's someone's son. Now, he's Mary's son, but the Bible describes him as the son of someone else as well. He's the Son of God, but he's one other son. Sorry, I'm asking you a question with lots of answers, and that's a bad thing to do. He's the son of another great king. Who is that great king? Who's Israel's first great king? Tabitha. The one who comes after King Saul. Okay, don't worry. Anyone else want to tell me? Yeah. King David. Okay. Do you hear? He's been born in David's town. Because he's going to be the son of David, and he's going to be a great king. Now, what was David before he was a king? What did he do before he was a king? What was his job? He was a shepherd. Well done, Tabitha. He was a shepherd. And that's why the angels come to shepherds. It's a sign that here is going to be another shepherd for the people of Israel, another king to love them and rule them. And he's going to be a king for us too, to love us, to rule us and tell us what to do, but also to care for us. So he's a savior who is Christ. What's the third thing? All right. Savior who is Christ, the Lord. Now the Lord, who gets called the Lord in the Old Testament, in the Bible? Time and time and time again, who gets called the Lord? God does. Yeah, that's a name for God. So he's not just someone who's come to rescue us. He's not just a great king like King David. He's even greater. This is God himself. This is the God who made everything, has come down to be a tiny little baby. So we talk a lot at Christmas about the baby Jesus, don't we? See, the Bible talks about the baby Jesus, but it talks about a great king who's ruling everything. It talks about the great almighty God who rules over everything. It says that's who is lying in the manger. Now, I want you to think for a minute. What do? When you see a mosquito? Right. Yeah, I'm glad you do that. That's what I do too. I miss them a lot. You do that, don't you? You see a mosquito. Why do you do that? They bite you. They're horrible, aren't they? They're small and they're annoying and they bite you. They're not very nice. And you're bigger than them. They're yucky. They are yucky. You're right. They are yucky, darling. They're not very nice. You're bigger, and so you can just go. What do? If your parents see ants in their kitchen, what do? They scream. Scott, I'll talk to you later. yeah.
Run away.
Run away. I'm sorry to hear this. What do if they see ants in the kitchen? Yeah, right. I do two things when I see ants in the kitchen. I do that. And then I go and set ant traps to kill them. And we can do that because we're really big. And these little nuisances are down here making a mess of everything. And they're going to eat our food and make our house not very nice. And so we kill them. Now, just think about it for a minute. God is really, really, really big. Okay? God is strong. He can do whatever he likes. He is up in heaven. And he's huge and powerful. And we're down here, and we're tiny, and we're weak, and we're making a mess of all of God's world. And you know what like ants, and you know what the amazing thing is? God does not stand up in heaven and go, I am really big and really strong, and I'm going to squash you like a bug. God says, I am really big, and you're tiny. I am really strong, and you are so weak. I'm up here, and you're down there. And so I'm going to come down to where you are, and I'm going to make myself really small and really weak so that I can help you. I'm going to make myself a tiny baby so that I can save you, so that I can love you, so that I can care for you. So when you go to bed tonight, before you go to bed, I want you to say to your mum and dad, or whoever you're with, I want you to say, isn't Jesus amazing? And when you wake up in the morning and you're opening your presents, while you're opening your presents and you're so excited by them, I want you to say to your mum and dad, isn't Jesus amazing? Now, I want you to carry on listening to me, but I'm going to talk to the grown-ups for just a moment. Because these are old truths, aren't they? These are stories we've heard again and again and again. These are truths we've heard again and again and again. So I want you to pause for a moment, and I want you to let them sink in. But as we see the baby in the manger, it's not just a tiny little baby that we're seeing. And when we think of Jesus as the great King, the mighty God, it's not just the great King and the mighty God we're thinking about. You know, sometimes preachers have this habit of saying at Christmas time, you know, the Bible doesn't talk about sentimental baby little Jesus. It talks about a mighty King, a Savior, a strong and powerful God. Actually, the Bible does both things, doesn't it? It says, here is the sovereign, almighty God himself, who became so small and so weak that he was fussed over by three-year-old girls. Here is the mighty God who stepped down into his creation and took all of our humanity on himself, all of our smallness, all of our weakness, all of our sin. He became a tiny ball of cells implanted in his mother's womb. And so the poet John Donne addresses Mary in a poem and says that she has immensity cloistered in thy dear womb. He becomes a tiny baby and a small child so that he's able to be the saviour of tiny babies and small children just as much as adults. He lived obediently to his parents. So he's able to be a saviour for kids and for teenagers. He grew up and became a carpenter, so he's able to redeem all the mundane work we have to do. He endured all kinds of suffering during his life, so that his whole life, in one sense, was a life of suffering for our sin, so that he's able to comfort us and sympathize with us in our weakness and our suffering. He was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. So that in his smallness and his weakness, combined with his power, he can overcome that suffering and help us in the midst of it. He took our frailty and our weakness, and he took it to the cross. And he died. And he lay in a tomb, and his heart had stopped beating. And there was no breath in his lungs. There was no life behind his eyes. So he's able to help us at the end of life as well. He rose again from the dead in that weak humanity and conquered death, so that our last enemy is dead. He took our humanity into heaven, where now he's praying for us at God's right hand. And as a man, he will come back to restore all things and make everything perfect, purified, cleansed from sin and suffering and death. And it's possible because both of those things are true. It's possible because he became a little child and shared our weakness and our frailty. It's possible because the one who was the little child was Almighty God, who was powerful to be a saviour, who's able to be a good king, who is the sovereign Lord. Isn't Jesus amazing? Guys, go and find your seats again, and I think we're going to pray.